Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I've Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. So today we're bringing back a classic on something we've talked a lot about, which is doctors not believing women, not trusting their pain or thinking they're exaggerating. And as we said, who knows how many episodes ago, pretty recently, one of the things we want to talk about is the physical health impact of this pandemic and all the stress. And that's something that we are working on. And I know we have discussed this a lot, but Samantha, do you have like something that comes to mind immediately when you think of a time you went to a doctor or something and they kind of dismissed why you were there?
So I'm trying to think because I don't often go to the doctor because I am that person. Mm-hmm. I think part of my problem with, in general, going to doctors, I believe them in thinking that there's nothing wrong with me. And I have to, that's part of why I won't go. Unless I am absolutely sure I am sick, I will not go. Like, it's an odd thing. Like, I think there were several times where people had told me they'd gone to the hospital because, you know, they had done this to their ankle. I'm like, no, I just didn't. Like, I literally pulled my calf muscle to the point that it blew up. I couldn't stand on it, and my entire leg was purple. I refused to go to the doctor because in my mind, it still wasn't bad enough because it wasn't broken. So why? And I'm pretty sure I broke my foot once, and I refused to go because I didn't think it was bad enough. So I am that person that truly does not believe, I guess I'm worth seeing, and I don't know why. So I'm overly cautious, even though I probably should have on several occasions. The only time I can really think of any kind of mishap like that was trying to explain my anxiety and my mental health stuff. And I had been referred to a male psychiatrist who pretty much dismissed my entire job, saying that, because at the time I was working with social work and working with at-risk teens and kids who were worked in problematic issues with the law, whatever, broken, you know, and had gotten arrested. And he was talking about essentially how he worked with a facility and was like, they all need to be just put in jail, put away. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
And because my job was the opposite of that, of trying to keeping them out. And so dismissing that and saying there's nothing they could do to help them, as well as that I am doing too much, so that my anxiety was self-induced and all these things. And I was like,
wow. Yeah.
What? And I never went back to him, and I reported it back to my therapist. I'm like, you should never recommend this person again. Like, he was worst ever. And assumed that was coming in for extra drugs too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm kind of similar. I'm not saying this is a healthy mindset at all. But I will also like put off going to the doctor until like there's no way that they can tell me that I'm exaggerating or it's in my head, or it would be much harder, which is part of this conversation that we feel this way. But I have, when I went to go get I was just having a lot of trouble breathing, which, as mm-hmm. Samantha knows, I have a lung problem. And I have asthma, had asthma really badly at one point. And this doctor, I came in to get all these tests. And at the end of it, he said, like, it's hard to get up and work out every now and then, isn't it? And I was like a young, you know, self-conscious, insecure 14 or 15 year old. And that just, that cut me. That was bad. That left a mark.
Yeah.
Because I already felt like I was like chubby and all of this like toxic stuff that he was kind of reaffirming that that's all bad and that's on you and it's your fault. And then it turns out like they had to call an ambulance when I collapsed at school because I couldn't breathe and my lips went blue. So, and then one day we're going to do a Monday mini on this because I really want to talk about it, but I had a really, really, really bad experience my first time at a gynecologist. And he essentially, like looking back, I'm really not sure what was going on here, but he kind of like threatened to tell my dad that I was basically sexually promiscuous or something, which,
right.
Oh my God, there's so much to unpack there, but that it scared me and it traumatized me. To this day, I think about it. And again, yeah, I think I was 15, 14 or 15. So yes. Well, with all of that in mind and with all of these ideas that we're planning on returning to in future episodes, please enjoy this classic episode.
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
And welcome to the podcast. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Kristen.
There seems to be a lot of questions floating around the internet about women and their doctors. And I'm just getting the impression, generally, that women feel that doctors don't listen to them.
I came across two big questions on said internet regarding women and doctors. One is whether or not male doctors come on to female patients and where the ethical lines are. I did not investigate that one.
That's a whole other podcast.
Yes. And that we probably will never record. And also whether or not doctors listen to female patients.
Right. There's a lot of interesting data out there about just gender interactions, both the gender of the patient and how that affects the doctor-patient relationship, and as you can imagine, the gender of the physician. And I, for one, have always sought out female doctors. I feel more comfortable with a female gynecologist and a female internist. My chiropractor and my acupuncturist, I'm just going to tell you everything about myself right now. Do you want to know my blood type?
Yes.
I don't know it.
I don't either.
Oh, God. We should figure that out. They're male. So the people who are like cracking my spine and sticking needles in me are guys. But I just feel like if I'm going to be talking about really personal things and getting medicine prescribed, I feel more comfortable with a lady doctor.
Mm-hmm. And this question of the doctor female patient relationship has been snowballing in our minds as we've been doing episodes on underdiagnosed chronic conditions among mm-hmm. women, such as vulvodynia. And it also stood out in our podcast we did a while ago on gender differences in anxiety.
Absolutely.
Because Taylor Clark over at Slate pointed to the American Psychological Association's Stress in America survey in 2008, which found that if a woman goes into a doctor's office and complains of symptoms, they are more likely to be dismissed as just the products of female stress, just the product of being a woman.
Perhaps the change of life.
Yes, the seasons turning. whereas male symptoms, the same symptoms presented by a male patient, often taken more seriously. And this is specifically in regard to cardiology, and we'll get into that a little bit more. So we decided to look into whether or not that was true, whether or not women are just complaining more loudly. Are we just pickier about our doctors? Are we all hypochondriacs?
Interesting.
What is happening?
Yeah, there was a May 2010 blog post by Nancy Klimas on the Ms., magazine blog. And it, she posed the question that we're going to get into about why don't doctors listen to women? Or do doctors listen to women? And she said, how do we dispel the age-old myths that women are emotional, overreactive, and generally unable to describe their own medical conditions? What is up with doctors making up their minds about us when we've uttered three words about what we're suffering?
And I believe Clemus also is a medical doctor. So this is a doctor posing this question about other doctors. Now, across the board, probably because of the limited amount of time that doctors have to see patients in the exam room, there is some mistrust that goes on between patients and physicians. There was a 2008 column in the New York Times by Tara Parker Pope, who is citing a Johns Hopkins study finding that about 1 in 4 patients, it's pretty high, mm-hmm. 1 in 4 patients feel that their physician sometimes exposes them to unnecessary risk. And she quotes a New York doctor saying that nobody's talking to patients. Everyone is so rushed. I don't think doctors are bad people. We're just working in a broken system. And on a side note, this is coming from a report in the Wall Street Journal. From 1997 to 2005, the time a doctor spends with individual patients has actually increased from a whopping 18 minutes, which was high, I thought, mm-hmm. to 21 minutes.
As far as the environment that these doctors are working in, Tara Parker Pope in her post says that dealing with declining reimbursements and rising costs, doctors have only a few minutes to spend with a patient. And sometimes when I go to the doctor, I feel like it is literally just a few minutes. Mm-hmm. I'm really surprised by that 21-minute figure.
Well, that's averaged out, and the writer suggests that it might be that high number might be due to an aging baby boomer population, sort of skew the curve.
Could be. Some things that influence the trust issues between doctors and patients are news reports about medical mistakes and drug industry influence. So the more you hear about malpractice suits and, you know, people leaving medical instruments in someone's spleen after a surgery, maybe you're more likely to worry.
Yeah, and because a lot of adults are very attuned to what could possibly be wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, Caroline, but I have inadvertently diagnosed myself with a terrible cancer.
Oh, yeah, all the
on
time.
WebMD symptom checker.
I have like 50 cancers.
It's pretty dangerous. This was according to a Pew Internet Project survey. 69% of women and 58% of men will research what could be ailing them before they even step foot in the doctor's office.
Right. And that's actually sort of a maybe not a dangerous mistake to make, but if you've done all this research because you're worried about your health, I mean, it makes sense. But if you take all of that into your doctor and say, okay, look, here's what this website says, this is what I have, well, even though your doctor is a very smart individual, he or she might sort of follow you down that path and think, okay, you're right. And this actually, I say this because it happened to me. I actually had it was a minor and a brief dermatological issue. And I looked it up online and I was like, okay, good. Well, A, I'm not dying. And B, this sounds like what it is. So I went to the dermatologist, wasn't my normal doctor. I went to a new one because I couldn't get in anyway. So I go in with all this information and they're looking at me and I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to let them decide what it is. Mm-hmm. And finally, you know, they're poking at me and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I think it's this. And they look and they're like, yeah, here's some hydrocortisone cream. Go home. Well, then it wouldn't go away. I mean, it was nothing bad, but it kept like, it just kind of hung around. And so then I went into my normal dermatologist. She's like, oh God, how long have you been using this hydrocortisone cream? And I said, well, really not as much as they told me to. She said, good, because that's not what you have. And if you had used hydrocortisone cream every day between then and now, your skin might be falling off.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, it is dangerous to go in with your mind made up already.
Well, in addition to women possibly over-educating themselves about what could be going on compared to men, we're also more likely to, like you did, take action and make that appointment and go in. This is coming from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This is excluding pregnancy-related visits. Women are 33% more likely than men to visit a doctor. Now, that starts to close with age as we all get old and we're all equally sickly. But doctors see our faces more often.
Right. And according to a meta-analysis of data from 1967 to 2001, this appeared in the Journal of American Medical Association, it found that visits with female doctors last 2 minutes longer on average, as far as gender goes. So as far as women are in the doctor's office more, but if you're seeing a woman doctor, you're also going to be seeing her more.
A little bit more.
A little bit.
For 120 seconds more. I wonder if 2 minutes makes that much of a difference, though.
If you have a question.
Yes. A brief question.
A very brief one. And you mentioned that the pattern is slightly different for OBGYNs. And this is true. It's interesting because all these studies are saying that, you know, female patients go to the doctor more. They spend more time at the doctor. Female physicians are more likely to spend more time with you. But all of that is not the case for male OBGYNs. They actually demonstrate a higher level of emotionally focused talk with their patients.
But maybe that has to do with them tailoring communication styles to their patient population, because studies have also demonstrated that female patients, unsurprisingly, tend to communicate more, want to do more of the whole person analysis, how they're feeling mentally, physically, emotionally, instead of just, you know, sticking more to what is going on, what is my temperature and my blood pressure.
Exactly.
Like male robot patients.
Yes, as you know, men talk like robots.
Yes.
The Journal of Patient Education and Counseling in 2006 published a study that found that while men tend to be satisfied regardless of the doctor's gender and communication style, us ladies are more particular, and we tend to be happiest with female doctors when those doctors expressed great concern, empathy, and reassurance. And I mean, that makes sense to me. I want to know that my doctor is listening to me and understands. I don't need her to be like, oh, boo, don't worry. But I want to know she's listening and understands. But actually, the whole thing flips on its ear. And if those doctors were male, female patients were dissatisfied with overt displays of caring.
Ah, we can't be pleased.
We just can't. Gosh.
But it makes sense, though, that women might be more particular about the kind of health care they are receiving, because we are spending more time in doctors' offices. Mm-hmm. We're probably seeing more doctors. And again, we go in, statistically, we go in armed with more knowledge. So maybe we set the bar a little bit higher. And this is not to say by any means that male doctors are somehow not doing their job properly. There's simply a communication difference. Cause there was a journal, I don't know, Caroline, did you reference this? The Journal of Women's Health study from 2009 that found that male physicians had a higher component 2 score, which was understanding the whole person, which is really what it sounds like, more what female patients are interested in.
Right. It seems like we want to get the whole picture, the whole health picture laid out. And from this same study, female physicians had a greater component 1 score, in other words, exploring both the disease and illness experience.
But I'm wondering if maybe this big dissatisfaction has much less to do with the gender of the physician that we're talking to, because again, I don't want to say that female or male physicians are, one is superior to the other, but maybe it's how women present their symptoms and whether or not the word stress comes up. Because a Cornell study presented at the 2008 Cardiovascular Research Foundation found that mentioning stress affects a doctor's perception of a woman's symptoms. These researchers examined how doctors reacted to patient descriptions of cardiovascular problems for male patients versus female patients. And they concluded that, quote, the inclusion of a stressor precluded doctors from making a coronary heart disease diagnosis in women, but not in men. So there's something about women saying stress that like sets off alarm bells in physicians' brains. It says, oh, you know what? It's probably just your stress levels. Here is something that will take care of that.
Yeah, here's an anti-anxiety or an antidepressant pill.
Right. Maybe that's why, according to the CDC, the major classes of drugs doled out to women are painkillers, antidepressants, and estrogen.
Oh, hey. Interesting. Yeah.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
As far as the mental health and anxiety goes, I mean, yeah, we did reference that stuff in our anxiety podcast. And it was interesting to see how doctors perceive women so differently. But according to the World Health Organization, doctors are more likely to diagnose depression in women compared with men, which we've talked about before, even when they have similar scores on standardized measures of depression or present with identical symptoms. And this is a quote, you think about predictors for being diagnosed with a disease. Mm-hmm. You don't think of your gender. I mean, I don't know. It says female gender is a significant predictor of being prescribed mood-altering psychotropic drugs. So just being a lady, you're more likely to get mood-altering drugs.
Women also tend to seek more generalized medical assistance for mental health issues. This is, again, coming from the World Health Organization, compared to men who are, A, less likely to seek mental help. But when they do, they'll go more to specialists.
Right. And there's something about gender stereotypes, not only for women, not only doctors thinking, oh, she's just hysterical, but for men as well. And gender stereotypes regarding proneness to emotional problems in women and alcohol problems in men appear to reinforce social stigma and constrain help seeking along stereotypical lines. That's also from the World Health Organization. So these are barriers, I think, to getting quality care if you assume something about your own situation or if your doctor just assumes something because of your gender.
And the fact of the matter is, we're talking a lot about whether or not women are satisfied with their patient care, but guys, you also are suffering from a healthcare gap as well. Over the life term, male healthcare costs far more than women's because you're not investing as much in preventative care and going to the doctor as often as we are. So it's kind of like, maybe at some point we need to meet in the middle where doctors quit dismissing women's complaints as just the byproduct of everyday stress and men stop going in when it's a 911 situation so that doctors take your symptoms far more seriously.
Right. Yeah. Go for more checkups along the line instead of waiting until it's just at the tipping point. And as far as identifying problems, especially mental health issues along gender lines, There was an interesting interview with Dr. Jerome Groopman by NPR. He read a book called How Doctors Think after he himself had a bad experience about trying to get something diagnosed. And he went to several different doctors. And finally, I think it was the fifth doctor, someone finally listened to all of his symptoms and he got the right diagnosis. But so he wrote this book called How Doctors Think after his experience. And he's talking about how doctors maybe have errors in thinking. It's not that they're bad people. It's that we use shortcuts, he says. Most doctors, within the first 18 seconds of seeing a patient, will interrupt him telling a story and also generate an idea in his mind of what's wrong. So they're making this snap judgment, and he calls it an anchoring mistake, because once you utter a couple of words about what you're experiencing, what hurts or what feels bad, some doctors have already made a decision about what you have based on your gender, age, race, whatever, and they kind of stick with it and maybe use everything else you say to confirm what they already believe. So as far as having an idea of what someone is already suffering from or not suffering from, an interesting study from the Cardiac and Vascular Institute at New York University Langhorne Medical Center. This was published in September 2011. Anywhere from 40,000 to 100,000 women every year with arteries that show up as clear on an angiogram suffer from a heart attack. And 38% of the time, they have the kind of plaque that doesn't show up on an angiogram. And so a lot of these doctors are sending women home because they just do this one test and they say, oh, you're fine. It's probably indigestion. You know, here's a Prilosec or whatever. Go home, lie down, get some rest. But then when the woman comes back and she's going, no, okay, for real, I'm having a heart attack. That's when they realize that something very serious is wrong. And women are symptoms. And this is, I feel, common knowledge. I know that, women present very different symptoms when they're having a heart attack than men do. And that is something that really needs to be taken into account. If a woman is suffering from the same thing a man is, she just might not present the same symptoms in the same way. And so I think if we get more time with our doctors, if we go to them with enough time in advance of any problems we have, then maybe we could be taken more seriously and get these things diagnosed as far as, and, I mean, instead of waiting until it's almost too late.
Well, and if the standard tests for things like heart disease and heart attack are tailored to what more commonly manifests in men, it would make sense that within that 18-second window that you mentioned from the book How Doctors Think, it would make sense that, you know, doctors would conclude that yay or nay, this is or is not going on.
Right.
So it sounds like there's room for more nuance in the exam room, but also before that, taking more, even in med school, training doctors to look more closely for the gender differences. Mm-hmm. I have never been to med school. People who have been, let me know if that is happening. I'm sure it's happening a lot more than it used to, because we've talked about in the podcast before how with, for a lot of prescription medications, for instance, it's only been in recent years, in the past like 20 years probably, that they have started, using women in more test groups. Whereas everything was tailored to men because men are more stable because they don't have menstrual cycles.
Oh, gosh.
And by stable, I'm not talking about, like, brain and mood stable. I mean, physiologically, levels of hormones in their bodies.
Thank you for clarifying.
Stable. But to cap things off, let us at least verify that it is not just in our heads. Even though women are going to the doctor 33% more often than men, a December 2011 study published in the European Journal of Public Health via the Public Health Agency of Barcelona found that women did indeed report health problems more often, but it's because we are actually suffering from a higher rate of chronic disease. And the lead researcher says, these results suggest that the poor self-rated health of women is a reflection of the higher burden of disease they suffer, and it should be, the findings should be offered up as support that women are not just a bunch of raving hypochondriacs. And speaking of hypochondria, according to the National Institutes of Health, hypochondria presents itself equally among men and women.
Especially with websites like WebMD.
Mm-hmm.
Where you, all you have to do is click on that little body and tell it what hurts.
It's always cancer. There's always, you could scrape your knee and WebMD symptom checker would give you knee cancer.
It's like
some sort.
It's always going to be cancer or a foot fungus. Like, it's something where you're like, wait, how seriously?
How do I have prostate cancer, WebMD? I'm a woman. Come on.
But okay, so we've come back around to the whole self-diagnosis thing, and I think we should talk about some of the mistakes that we do make when we go to the doctor's office. I already told my long story about my hydrocortisone cream. We don't need to revisit it. But Dr. Christine Northrup was quoted in a 2008 CNN column by medical correspondent Elizabeth Cohen. And Dr. Northrup said that women make a huge mistake by feeling paralyzed and voiceless in a doctor's office. Although I'm not sure how you can call an, something like that a mistake. If you feel paralyzed, you feel paralyzed. But anyway, she says you shouldn't feel paralyzed. And so she breaks down the five mistakes that we make. And one is we don't question our doctors. She compares it to a child versus parent interaction that we're just like, oh, okay, whatever you say, you're smart.
So we're just passive, sitting on the exam table, mm-hmm. waiting for the terrible prognosis of knee cancer.
Exactly. You're going to get letters from people with knee cancer.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
She suggests taking someone with you who will ask questions, who maybe isn't afraid to ask questions to the doctor, or just ask the doctor to slow down and say, look, I didn't go to med school. Can you please help me understand this? Mm-hmm. So that's one idea.
And she also says that instead of just stating the facts, we're offering interpretations, which could lead the doctor down the wrong path. In other words, what she's saying is you go in prepared, know that you're going to have a limited amount of time, and know what you want to talk about. If there are, you know, three things specifically that are happening, be ready to cut to the chase.
Right. And yeah, cutting to the chase, which is what I should have done earlier with my story. She says that, you know, don't interpret your symptoms in the doctor's office. Don't just state the facts, state what you're suffering from. Don't say like, oh, well, so then I was reading that maybe it could be foot fungus. Just let them examine you.
And I'm not going to lie. I'm totally guilty of going into the doctor for something and not wanting to reveal the fact that I had done the research for fear of seeming like a crazy internet hypochondriac.
But so many of us are. I mean, I think they know that. I mean, I think if you're a doctor, if you're an internist, probably, I would say a huge chunk, to be very specific, come in every day just being like, well, I read this on the internet.
Sounds like we just need more honesty in the exam room.
Yeah. And maybe several follow-up appointments. Too.
I'm going to prescribe our listeners more honesty and gumption next time they go to the doctor.
Put that on a pillow. And one major issue that she points out is that as women, we don't recognize gender bias, apparently. She says that our issues are more likely to be interpreted as emotional issues or complaining, like we've touched on. And Dr. Nisa Goldberg, author of the wonderfully titled Women Are Not Small Men.
Thank you, Dr. Goldberg.
She says, you don't want to go to a doctor who says, now, honey, it's not all that bad. Which is true. I mean, you want to, if you're taking the time to go to the doctor, you're probably taking off work or school or whatever. You want to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to us. And we're not small men.
Right.
Like you said, we have menstrual cycles.
So we've been addressing a lot from the patient end of things. What I'm also interested in, two things. A, for people working in the medical field out there, how do you, I mean, doctors and nurse practitioners and everybody else cannot be blind to this communication barrier between patients and the physician. So I'm wondering whether or not this is something that is talked about, whether or not it's something that is kind of dismissed. If you have those certain patients who it's like, well, old Sally's coming in. Let's
hey, get stop
ready.
Talking about my mother.
Get ready for a bunch of complaining. Or you know how you manage that. And also men out there, are women just complaining more, or is there a similar disconnect between what you need when you go into the doctor and the kind of care that you are or are not getting? Is this something that we're all experiencing? Because I feel like the issues that we're talking about have as much to do with patient interaction as it does with how doctors are responding.
Yeah. And I want to hear from women. I know we've heard from a couple already when we did our vulvodynia podcast about what symptoms have you had, what health issues have you had that doctors have dismissed, mm-hmm. and that you found out later it was actually something serious.
Right. So we just asked for so much from everyone. But really, I'm very curious to hear from folks. MomStuff@discovery.com is the address.
Okay, I have a letter from Christina. She says, has anyone ever told you this before? The movie Whip It encompasses at least 6 elements from Stuff Mom Never Told You episodes. Let me explain. First, the roller derby show. Obviously what the movie was about, slightly mentioned. Second, the women of the Oscars show. This movie was not up for an Oscar as far as I know, but in mentioning general female directors, Drew Barrymore directed and starred in it. Third, is Miss America relevant? That show. Ellen Page's character Bliss was being pressured by her mother to be a part of a beauty pageant show. Fourth, feminism, as mentioned in most shows. Bliss lived happily ever after without Oliver, the cheating boyfriend. Decided not to buy his crap about a girl in a picture wearing a striper shirt she discovered on his band webpage. Also, be your own hero was a catchy, empowering quote. Fifth, bullying show. Maven, Juliette Lewis's character, was bullying Bliss but earned her respect at the end. Sixth, the Girl Scout show. Hurl Scouts was the team name that Bliss played on. Isn't this strange, or is this someone's favorite movie? The movie was cool, but I love your show and wanted to point this out. So that's something I'd never thought about. Interesting.
And I wrote back to tell her that I have never seen Whip It, but now obviously...
It's really cute.
I gotta see it.
It's really cute. And I don't want to spoil anything for anyone who hasn't seen it, Kristen Earmuffs. But the part where you mentioned, Christina, the whole, like, living without... Oliver, the boyfriend. I love that theme. That's my favorite.
I have no idea what you're talking about. So I'm going to talk about grammar. This is from Mary Ellen. She has a PhD in linguistics and is writing in response to Grammar Girl, and she took some issue to some of the things. She writes, when answering the question about whether men or women pay more attention to Grammar Girl mentions that older women tend to be bigger sticklers for grammar because all of the teachers way back when were women. While this might be true, it's only part of the story. At least in Western culture, language has been a vehicle of upward mobility for women. Think My Fair Lady. If women speak properly, they can have white-collar jobs such as teachers and secretaries and move out of the lower class. Men, on the other hand, benefit from speaking the vernacular and are mocked if they speak too proper, which brings to mind this the whole kind of elitism argument that crops up often in political seasons, as we are in. Finally, I want to comment on if you will. I disagree with Grammar Girl. I don't think that it undercuts what you are saying. What if you will does is ask your audience permission to use a word or phrase that you're acknowledging as inadequate, but best fits because you can't think of a better word. I think it's a useful phrase and don't see any reason that you shouldn't use it. And you know what? Mary Ellen is one of many who has written in support of if you will.
Aw.
But I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. I feel like I've trained myself to weed it out so thoroughly.
As you wish.
Yes. That as you wish will be the only thing that will suffice, if you will. So, if you have any questions to send our way, momstuff@discovery.com is the email address. Facebook.com/stuffmomnevertoldyou is the surprise Facebook place to go. And then @momstuffpodcast is how you can reach us on Twitter. And of course, if you want to find us during the week, we are over at howstuffworks.com. Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented...
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?